Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Shari. We are learning the Lilui Nishmas and the Zecha Nishmas of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHasham, and Hashem should have a continuous aliyah in the merit of our learning. So we are on Amin. We're on page 137, please. The second Sefer. I'm just looking at the two top paragraphs, which we did. We were speaking about working with yourself and working with the Creator. I had some difficulty understanding some of what the author of the Mechaber said last time, and some of the comments of you ladies were very helpful in clarifying perhaps some of the intent, okay? In other words, second paragraph. At first, there's generally a feeling of separation. After that, you must go out of yourself towards the Creator, return to yourself, go back to it. We did this last time. Return to yourself so on continuously. Someone said something last time about that like, what did someone say? Who remembers? This isn't a trick. Does anyone remember what someone said last week about that towards the end of class, so she explained it? I don't remember either. Okay. At first, you must recognize yourself, and this is really key. You do have to recognize yourself. In Avodas Hashem, the first stage is self-awareness. If you don't recognize who you are, how can you recognize what needs to be improved? How can you recognize what's positive in you? How can you recognize what's failing in you? How can you recognize where you're going to work on? If you don't recognize yourself, there is no Avodas Hashem at all. That's absolutely true. We have to daven for clarity just to know who we are. If there isn't, daven Hashem, help me, save me from myself. Sometimes we don't even know who we are. It's frightening. If there's no personality, who is that talking to Hashem? Therefore, you must first clearly recognize there is an I who is coming to speak to Hashem. I give thanks to Hashem implies there is an I. In other words, I give thanks, then it's possible to give thanks to you. So it's interesting. I'm not sure if this is a paraphrase of Moda'ani, I give thanks to Hashem or not. Then there's an I, there's a you. I think so, I don't know. Once again, as Ali Shava said last week, the Sefer is really a translation. But if it is from Moda'ani, so I will tell you that Moda'ani is very erroneously translated as, I am thankful before you, the living and everlasting King. That's not correct. The first word of Moda'ani is not Ani. The first word of Moda'ani is Modeh. And it should be translated as, thankful am I before you, the living and everlasting King. The first word of our mouth and word is not I. I need, I want, I feel, I am rather, thanks, Modeh, Hoda'al, Cain. And we're all called Yehudim. We could be called Reuvenites. This is something that I've said very often. We could be called Shimonites, even if we're from a different Shevet. Rashi says to Esther 2:5, Ish Yehudi haya b'shushin abirish, Mordechai ben Yair ben Kish ben Shmi Ish Yemini. He's from the tribe of Binyamin, Ish Yemini, but he's introduced as an Ish Yehudi. And Rashi right there on that pasuk, on the Megillah, says that when we went into Galus, even if we're from a different tribe, even from a different Shevet, says Rashi, we're all called Yehudim. So it's not I give thanks to you, Hashem. Rather, it's thankful am I to you, Hashem. But yes, there has to be an I. It is the I that give thanks. Interestingly, in the parentheses, he points out an interesting R, which I never even thought of before. There's a higher level in which ani, I, changes to nothingness, ayin. Ayin is nothing. Then Hashem created the world, yesh me ayin, from yesh, something, me ayin, from nothing. So if you switch around the letters of the word ani, which is aleph, nun, yod, and you switch around the letters of ani, what do you end up with? He just told you here. Ayin, which means nothing. So he says the highest level is to change to nothingness, but first you have to have the you. In order to have you, i.e. Hashem, capital Y, there must be an I. I found, as I said last week, the pages sometimes to be, I don't want to say difficult, a little bit deep maybe, but we have to understand what he's saying here. In order to thank Hashem, we have to see what I have in order to give thanks to Hashem. So I wanted to share this interesting story that I saw brought down in Portraits of Prayer in regard to giving thanks to Hashem. Hey, there was a tradition, this Portraits of Prayer by Rabbi Eliezer Abish. There's a family tradition in the Wasserman family that before every child's grandchildren, the grandmother takes them to Eretz Yisrael. She got on in her years. She was coming on in years, so they went only for a short time. Chasky became a chassan. His grandmother took him to Eretz Yisrael before his wedding. They only had a short visit. They landed at Eretz Yisrael before Shabbos. They were staying for only an extended weekend. On Thursday, they hired a driver, Makomos Kadoshim, Tfila, etc. Okay. The last stop before heading back to the airport, Mrs. Wasserman always took the grandchildren to the Kotel. And she said to him, Chesky, it's 3 weeks before your wedding. It's an auspicious time. Pour out your heart to Hashem. Think of the future. Ask for all you need. Use your time well. We spoke before with our class about using our time well. It didn't take long for Chesky's heart to open. He spoke to Hashem. He davened for his kala. He thanked her for the kala, for the experience of being in Eretz Yisrael. And then he davened for children, healthy children, learning, sufficient parnasa, shalom bayis, so she merits to raise her children properly. The 90 minutes went much quicker than than he thought when he davened for everything he could see. But the irony is, in that opportunity to daven, you don't even realize really what you need. But okay, that's not written in the story. In the taxi on the way to the airport, Mrs. Wasserman turned to Chesky and said, "Did you use your time well? Did you daven for what you need?" "I sure did, Bubby. I can't think of a better way to prepare for my wedding. Thanks so much for the trip. What about you? I bet you have a whole list of things that you davened for." She was quiet and she said, "Come to think of it, I didn't really ask Hashem for anything." "What do you mean? You didn't ask for anything? I don't understand. I didn't have enough time for that." Chesky was confused. "We had an hour and a half by the kotel. What do you mean you didn't have time to daven?" And she said, "I didn't say I didn't have time to daven. I didn't have time to ask Hashem for anything. I had so many things to thank him for. I didn't even get to finish thanking him before our time was up. So in the end, I didn't ask for anything." So I don't know if you think the story is a little bit of a, grandiose tale. But I want to tell you something interesting. I've tried to start this. I do this now. If I feel nervous about something or anxious about something or worried about something, this is what I do, I promise. I start to go through I just say thank you for everything. I just start with thank yous. If I can't fall asleep in the middle of the night, if I wake up in the middle of the night, then I can't fall back asleep. That's when your mind is in overdrive, if you're like me, sometimes. So instead of thinking about this, I just say thank you. Thank you, Hashem, I was able to get up and use the facilities. Thank you, Hashem, I could walk there. Thank you, Hashem, for my bed. I seriously do this. Thank you, Hashem, that we have heat in the house. Thank you, Hashem, that I have pajamas. Thank you, Hashem, I could open and close my eyes. Thank you, Hashem, for our home. Thank you, Hashem, that I could breathe. I do this very often. I do it during the day. I do it very often. It's just thank you, Hashem, instead of asking for what I need. Yes, we do ask for what we need, but it really directs your focus, or I should say redirects your focus. I'm telling you that I'm trying this very hard. Instead of me focusing on what I lack, I'm trying very hard to focus on not trying very hard. Well, yes, trying very hard. But once you start saying thank you, it comes so naturally. So a couple of months ago, I told my husband, I said, "You know what I did on my fast walk?" He said, "What do you do on your fast walk?" I said, the whole time I was fast walking, it was about 45, 50 minutes, I was just saying thank you. And I wasn't repeating. Thank you, Hashem, that I could see the color of the flowers. Thank you, Hashem, for the color of the flowers. Thank you, Hashem, for the blue sky. Thank you, Hashem, for the leaves. Thank you, Hashem, I made it safely to this block. Thank you, Hashem, that I could swing my arms. Thank you, Hashem, my legs could move. Thank you, Hashem, that I have sneakers. Thank you, Hashem, I could breathe. Thank you, that my senses generally work. I promise, try it. It works. Because we all have things in life that we perceive that we are lacking. There's no such thing. The Rav says, quote, "There's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken." So we have a choice on my side. We have a choice. We can focus on, I just thought of a play on words on what the Mechaber just taught us. We can focus on the ayin, i.e. what we lack. We can focus on the things we don't have, on the nothing in life. Or we can focus on the ani, as in the Kol Hashem gave me, little old me, look what I have. And when you start going through this exercise, it's really unbelievable. It's very empowering, because, and it's also very humbling, because you realize, ein anachnu maspikim lehodos Hashem. Instead of focusing on what I don't have, I start focusing on what I do. So I'll just tell you an interesting story. This is a true story. It doesn't always work out like this, but I did share with my kids, because I thought it was important, chinuch, and a lesson. There's a certain place. There's a certain matzav where I don't get paid so easily. And then it could be a very long time. But a very long time. And it's frustrating. It's also demeaning. It's not pleasant. I don't like that part of my parnasa in the first place. It's teaching Torah, but so that's the way of the world. And sometimes it's very hard, and sometimes it's a very long time. And a long time. To the point where I feel like sometimes I have to stop coming to this place because it's just not fair. Okay. So one of the recent times, so a couple times a year I have to go through this. So I promise you I was doing this. First I got out of the car, I thought, Hashem, I promise, this is a true story. Why can't they just pay me? And I said, no, I'm not saying that. I started to say this exercise, thank you Hashem for everything. And I didn't add a bakasha at the end. It was just, thank you, Hashem. I could walk, I could drive, I could see, I could cross the street. Baruch Hashem, I am zocha to, right, unworthy to teach Torah. I was just saying thank you. And I did not add a bakasha. Just thank you. There was no ulterior motive. I said, just thank you. And I also said, Hashem, I know in the right time you're in charge. They will take care of it. It doesn't always happen like this. So I get to the place. And after that particular session, one of the people comes over to me. And they gave me the payment for the entire thing that was lacking. And it was a long time. It was, but I'm saying this because it was just revealed hashgacha. We don't always see a revealed hashgacha. It doesn't negate the fact that we have to wake up and say, thank you, Hashem, for everything that I have. And if you try this, it really works. The smile, you could blink. There's something called Bell's palsy, where half your face is like, when you blink, do you think, thank you, I could blink. My son, a couple weeks ago, was having a stiff neck. For 4 days, he couldn't move his neck. I said to the kids, when you say Zokev Kafufim in the morning, do you think, please, Hashem, let me move my neck? Try it. I'm just telling you, try it. The next time you feel nervous or anxious or stressed or whatever it is, if you never feel that, okay, just try going through without a bakasha then, without an ulterior motive. Just thank you. You'll see. Yeah.
No, I was thinking it's something nice to do with children instead of I spy and you play games with them.
That's very nice.
Let's think of what we thank Hashem for.
That's very nice. Like in a long car trip. That's very nice. And the key is, by the way, when you do this for yourself, I do it for myself. Like, it's real avoda. I do it for myself. I've never said this anywhere, but I think it could help people. It could help you. I hope. It helps me. You can't repeat in the same exercise. No, I mean, later you could repeat, but in the same session. In the same session, you can't repeat. I'm serious. In the same, try it. It's amazing. It's not reverse psychology and it's not mind games. It's just redirecting the focus. I need, I want, I can't, I feel, I have to, I have. Thank you. Try it. You can breathe.
So cute. I'm thinking about that letter to the Lubavitcher Rebbe with all the eyes circled. Imagine if that person just ended up feeling grateful. You know,
if the person
ended up was being thankful and grateful for all the things that you
just changes the whole letter. That's right.
Somebody told me also before Rosh Hashanah, you know, instead of asking, just thank Hashem for everything that was good during the year.
Try it. It's amazing. I've been working on it. I'm working on it. And you should know if you want it. It's amazing because in the past, I'm not saying always, but in the past, if I couldn't fall back asleep. But now, like, you don't, it's so calming because you're just focusing on the positive. Try it. So I found this story personally very powerful. I don't know if it's a true story or if it's a mashal with a nimshal, but I found it very powerful. In other words, this grandmother said, I actually didn't ask for anything because I spent the whole time just saying thank you. I'm telling you, one time, two, and so I said to myself, you know what I did on my fast walk? I was just saying thank you for 45 minutes. Like, and I passed this block that my friend lives on. I said, thank you for this friend. It's amazing, okay? I also thought it was very cool that ani becomes changed to ayin. Moda ani. Moda also means to admit. So when you admit how indebted you are to the Ribono Shel Olam, the ani turns to ayin. Amazing. Before speaking to the Creator, you must start from a simple level. When you come to speak, I'm on page 137, middle of the page. When you come to speak in order to instill the basic faith that there is a Creator, do not rush, do not say Ribono Shel Olam. I know you exist, I also know you created the world. Excuse me. Before speaking to Hashem, you must clarify on your own that the world has a Creator. This immediately brought to my mind who? You have to clarify on your own who?
Avram.
You must clarify on your own that the world has a Creator. Contemplate and think. Is it necessary to accept the world as a Creator? Maybe not, God forbid. But then how did these things come to be on their own? So if you look, when I was preparing, how many times I underlined this, because it really brought to my mind exactly what you said, the Rambam. Not the Rambam, Avram. So here, pass it out. Take one and share with the person next to you if you have to. I don't know if he was alluding to Avram Avinu, but he is clearly delineating the path that Avram Avinu took. You have to clarify on your own that the world has a Creator. Contemplate and think. Is it necessary to just accept the world as a Creator? Maybe not. Chas v'sham. How did all these things come to be unknown? This is exactly the path that Avram Avinu took. So interestingly, the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in his Mishnah Torah, usually the Rambam just tells us the halachos. In the beginning to Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he gives us a lengthy biography of Avram Avinu. This is not even the whole biography. For purposes of our learning, this is the part that I wanted to go through with you. He begins Halacha 1. This is only the end of Halacha 2. We're only beginning from the end of Halacha Beis. He begins Halacha Alf by telling you from the time that the world was created and how people strayed from the recognition of Hashem, so they came to the point where they forgot about Hashem. So let's start where it says end of Halacha 2, which is the end of Halacha Beis. This is sort of his introduction to Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Okay, this is not Halacha. This is biography. And without the Rambam and this biography, we wouldn't really know about the early life of Avraham Avinu. Because if you open up the Torah, the only thing you know about Avraham Avinu is that he journeyed with his father Terech to Haran and the Parshas Noach Perek Yud Aleph, and then he on his own went to Eretz Canaan. Avot Tzur HaOlamim, the rock of the world, Lo Haya Sham Makiru V'lo Yodo. By the time we come to the generation of Avraham Avinu, the rock of the world, there is no one who recognizes him and there's no one who knows him. Is there a paper? Could you share? Thank you. Aval yechidim ba'olam, only a few handful of people in the whole world, Chanoch, Mesushalach, Noach, Shem, Ve'ever, there were a few good people, but in general, everybody is worshipping idols. Ov de kochavim, he calls them earlier. Al derech zu haya ha'olam miska gav oleich, everything's just going around and around. Ad shenolad amudo shel olam, he calls Avraham Avinu the pillar of the world. Shehu Avraham Avinu alav ha'sham. Halach gimel. Okay, and does anyone have questions? I didn't really say anything to list a question, so I'm just asking. Okay. Once he was weaned, his mind is knocking. Please follow along with me, so you know where I'm up to. I'm in the middle of line one. He was very young. All day and all night, he's wondering. That's what we just read in the book, in the Sefer, which is immediately what made me think of the biography of Avraham Avinu, down by the Rambam. He's wondering day and night, and he can't figure out this whole planet going by itself. There's no one in charge. There's no manhig. What's a man? How would you translate manhig? Leader, someone in charge. And there's no one causing it to spin. Is it possible it's continuing all by itself? There's no one in charge. He had no one to teach him. He had no one to notify him of anything. We just read in the Sefer, before speaking to Hashem, you have to clarify on your own that the world has a creator. This was ingrained to us by Avraham Avinu. Aval Mish, look at the next line, it's fascinating. I'm in line 3 of Halacha Gimel. Aval Mishka Be'ur Kastim Bein Ovdei Kochavim Hatipshim. He is steeped in Ur Kastim amongst the foolish, let's say, translate tipesh. The tipesh means something else in modern Hebrew. Between the foolish idol worshippers, va'aviv v'imo, his father and his mother, v'chol ha'am ovdei kochavim, his father's an idol worshipper in Ur Kasdim, his mother's an idol worshipper, and everybody's worshipping idols. Look at the next words, ladies. Line 4 of Halacha Gimel. V'hu oveid imahem. What did the Rambam just say? He's doing Avodah Zarah. Your mother does it, your father does it, the Ganenet does it, everybody in town does it. So what's Avraham Avinu doing? He's also worshipping Avodah Zarah. V'libo, however, in his heart, Meshotet, he's knocking, Umevin, and understanding, Ad Shehisig Darach HaAmes, until he contemplated and understood the true path. V'hevin Kav HaTzedek, he understood the line of righteousness, Mit Bonat Mi Tevuna, so HaNechona. His bina, his intuition was correct. V'yada sheyeh shem elokai. You understand there's a God? Achad, one God. V'hu manhig ha-gilgal. And he is in charge of everything that goes on here, this planet. V'hu borei akol. He created all. V'ein b'kol ha-nimtza elokai chutz mimeno. And Avraham Avinu understood on his own. You have to clarify on your own that there's a creator, says the Mechaber. He understood on his own. He steeped among the tipshim in Ur Kasdim. Everyone is lost in awareness of the Ribon Shalom. V'yada shekol ha-olam to'im. Imagine a yachid ba'olam. He knew everyone's making a mistake. You know, sometimes you ever say this is a mirror at everybody else. Do you ever say that? Some of you yes, some of you no. Okay. Sometimes I think that about myself is a mirror as everyone else. So Avraham Avinu understood it's everyone else. V'davar shagaram lahem litos zesha ovdim esa kochavim v'esa tzuros. What happened was they began to worship the stars. The Rambam discusses this. So they looked at the stars, they look in the heavens, they look at the celestial bodies. It brings you to an appreciation of Hashem. So it must be if Hashem created those things and they're so powerful and they're so beautiful, he wants us to worship those things. What happens is they go from appreciating to forgetting about the creator. They're worshiping the kochavim and the figures, the fashions in Shemaim, ad sha'avar ha'emes midatam. They totally lost the emes. I want you to be with me. 1, 2, three, four, five, six, seven. I am on the seventh line down in Halacha Gimel, fourth word. We're talking about the biography of the Ram of Avram. Uben Arba'im Shana. So there are different opinions, by the way. According to the Rambam, Avram is 40. Ben Arba'im Shana, Hikir Avram Esbro. At the age of 40, Avram recognized his creator, Kevan Shehikir. Once he recognized Viyada, and he knew, he Hitchil Lahashiv Teshuvas Al B'nai Rakasim. So what does he start to do? He has debates with the people who are accustomed. He starts to enter into debates with them. V'la'aruch dini mehem, and he arranges judgments with them. So now they have public debates. Avram is saying the truth, and they're saying they're but they perceive to be true, and he refutes that. V'lomar she'ein zu derech ha'ames she'atem holchim bo. Your guys are on the wrong path. V'shiber hatzalamim. By the way, he broke the idols. That's what Rashi tells us to 11:28. Rashi to Bereishis Yer Aleph. Pasuk Chav Ches tells us that his own father, Terach, took him to who? His own father took him to Nimrod. Why? Why did he take him to Nimrod? He was smashing my idols. The Ram says he starts to break the idols. And he starts to let people know it's not worthy to worship anybody besides for the God of the world. You can only prostrate to Hashem. And to bring karbanos and libations. So everyone should recognize. You should destroy and get rid of and smash all of the graven images, kadesh lo yitu bahen kol ha'am, so people should not make a mistake. Kmo elu sheheim medamim she'ein sham elka elo elu, like those people who think there is no God, only these avodas are. So Avram Avinu, Ad shenigmal, says the Rambam, Eitan Zeh, this strong one. Imagine what he brought to the world. You know, we take you for granted. In a little bit of a way, we take Amunah for granted. We grew up with it. Our parents tell us about it. Our community tells about it. We have shiurim online that are very easy to access. We have sfarim stores. It's not like we live in a spiritual vacuum. We don't. We live in a community where there's shuls, kanayin are very chashuv shuls on every corner, and there are many rabbanim who are accessible, and there is much that we can access to strengthen ourselves. Avram Avinu was alone. He was a yachid in the whole entire world. Never mind, his family didn't support him. There was no one to support him. There was no rabbi. It's not like he's a ger or a chozer b'tshuva, and then he can go to a community who is an infrastructure of Torah and Yehados. He's all by himself in the whole world. We don't appreciate the godless of Eitan Zeh, who mamish recognize. You must clarify on your own that the world has a creator. Only Avram Avinu could do this. Let's finish the last paragraph on the handout. Kevan shegavar aleihim b'yosav. Wait, any questions or comments? Yes, no. B.K. Shemelech Lahargo. We just brought this up. He wants to kill him. So that, according to the commentators, is the first test, even though it's not written into the Torah text. He is like the first Kiruv operation. I'm not making that up. He starts to call out loud in a big voice. He's not embarrassed. He's not hiding anything. He's telling everyone the truth. To let them know that there's one God. People should know you're all making a mistake. There's one God, and it's worthy to worship Him alone. Look at these, so beautiful. He walked and he called and he gathered people, me'ir le'ir. He's like a traveling preacher, or a traveling. What do they call it? Yeah, like a traveling preacher.
What? An itinerant. Itinerant.
Itinerant, so I know a story about itinerant horse trainer. I love the story they tell about itinerant horse trainer, but he's really itinerant preacher. That's what he is. Me ear to ear, from city to city. Look at this. Keep in mind, by the way, when Hashem told them, Lech lecha, it's a journey. You didn't get on a plane and 10 hours later land in your direct destination of Eretz Kanaan. You know, like today, if you have a stopover, oy vey, do I want to take that airline? How long do I have to stop over? He didn't just jump from Urkastim to Haran to Canaan. It wasn't just one stopover, it's a schlep. And what was he doing along the way? Going from ear to ear, from mamlacha to mamlacha, city to city, kingdom to kingdom, ad shehigia la'aretz Canaan. Until he finally reached the promised land. Imagine, v'hu korei she'namar, v'yikra sham b'shem Hashem kel alom. It's in our parsha, that pasuk. It's in our parsha. V'yite isha b'be'er sheva, and the parakh of av, v'yikra sham b'shem Hashem kel alom. What does Rashi say there? On that pasuk, it's right there in the Perach of Alf. How did he call it in the name of God when he planted an Eshel Be'er Sheva? So Rashi says, what is it? Not Rashi, what Chazal say? What does Eshel stand for? What did he plant in Be'er Sheva? I can't see. But it's an acronym. It's an acronym.
Achila, Shtia, and Lina.
Okay, so it's Achila, Shtia, and Lina, or Achila, Shtia, and Levaya? Levaya. Not Levaya. And maybe Asum Shana, accompany the person who comes to your home. So Achila, he gave people to eat. Shasia, he gave people to drink. Lina, he gave them to rest. Or Levaya. Aite Isha B'Be'er Sheva, he became a home of Achnesus Arachim. And then, so what does Rashi say? That Rashi says people would finish eating and he would say, you have to bench. It's not the Lashon of Rashi. Beirach, you have to bless the one. Think you ate from me? Svurim atam sham mimeni ochaltem, you think you ate from my food? You ate from the one who spoke and created the world. And through that eshel, he was vayikra sham b'shem Hashem kel olam. People would come for achila. They would come for shasiyah. They would come for lina or levaya. And then what would he say after the meal? Now you have to recognize who your food came from. You know, when you tell people the MS, all of a sudden it makes sense. People gathered him. They started to ask him. They were interested. Also a very beautiful line. What does that mean? How did Avram Avinu teach? Every person on their own level. I remember I just spoke in Shalamis yesterday to the sixth graders, but I remember a number of years ago when I spoke in Shalamis to the first through fourth graders. I cannot forget this. Hashem should help me to Admei Vasim Shana maintain my memory. Please, Hashem, I cannot forget this. As long as Hashem helps me remember. But Mrs. Yarmuk called me to speak to, so yesterday I spoke to the sixth graders. They're already not high schoolers, but they're turning bas mitzvah. Right. She called me to speak to the first through fourth grade, or she asked me if I could speak to them as Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I still remember. It was a number of years ago. So I said, okay. So she said, is that okay with you? She said, sometimes she asks people, you know, she'll call someone to come speak, and they say, I can't speak to kids that young. And she said to them, I don't forget this. She said, do you speak to your children? Do you speak to your grandchildren? Then you can come speak to my children. Her point was that exactly what the Rambam is saying here. Hayamodia l'chol echad v'echad kifi dato. Torah has to be, the Amos has to be, Yerushalayim has to be, the recognition that there's a Borei Olam, everybody on his or her own level. So sixth grade, you speak one way, and today I spoke in the Nautilus, Kanai Nahar, the people are in their mid-90s to 100. Obviously, that's a different level shiur than yesterday, and it's a different level shiur than today. It doesn't matter. Echad, echad, kifi, dato. Al chiyachziru ledarach amasi. Until they were returned to the way of truth. The Rambam famously said that Aram had myriads, tens of thousands. Behem anshe beis Abraham. That's a nefesh asher asu b'charan. Bereishis 12:5. What does it mean a nefesh asher asu b'charan? Remember, he went from ear to ear. He went from mamlacha to mamlacha. Everywhere he went until he came to Canaan and he established the Eshel. He's converting people. He implanted in their hearts this big principle. Look what he says next. Third line from the bottom. It's fascinating. What did he just say? You think we have a book? You should know. What did Avram Avinu do? He was a mechaber. He authored Sfarim. What did he do? Are you following with me? You just don't want to translate? He transferred it to Yitzchak, his son. V'yashav Yitzchak melamedu mazhir. V'yitzchak odil Yaakov. Yaakov sat and he learned that he reviewed and he was on guard to be careful with the mitzvos. And Yitzchak transferred the knowledge to Yaakov. Uminuhu lelamed v'yashav melamed umachzik kol hanilvim elav. So we know that Yitzchak transferred to Yaakov. Yaakov becomes, he's appointed to sit and to learn and to teach those who come to him. Yaakov is each time Yoshev Olim. Yaakov Avinu Lamad Banav Kulam. V'hivdil Levi. So Yaakov taught all his sons. However, he separated one tribe, who would be the spiritual leaders of Knesset Yisrael, Levi, Uminu, Rosh, V'oshivo B'yeshiva, L'lamde Derech Hashem, Lomo Derech Hashem. He sat Levi in the yeshiva. He should learn about the ways of Hashem. V'lishmar mitzvos, Avram V'tzivas Banav Shalo Yafsiku, Mibnei Levi. It's very beautiful, yeah.
Shem and Eber.
What were they learning there?
When were they born?
Well, shame is shame.
So, I mean, I remember always learning about Yeshiva Shem Be'eber. And he went to Yaakov. We learned in Yeshiva Shem Be'eber for
14 years.
So Avram was alone. Like, where was Shem Be'eber at this time?
So the beginning of the Rambam, well, the beginning of the end of Halacha Beis, the beginning on Arshi, says there were a few individuals in the world who did recognize Hashem. A few lone individuals right there. Listed amongst that is Shem Ve'Iver. He says, Noach is a good man. I'll tell you a beautiful part on Shem Ve'Iver. Yaakov learned for 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Iver. What was talking about Shem Ve'Iver? Aram Vinu is known as the Ivri. It's in last week's parasha. Vayavo Pali Vayegid Aram Ivri Kinish Ba'achiv. Ivri Rashi Shabam Eivar Nar. What a weird thing to tell me. Aram came from the other side of the river. Who cares where Aram Vinu came from? But the Medrash says there he was on one side of the world hashkafically, and the whole world was on the other side. That's what the Rambam just says. What?
No.
I didn't hear.
I was just saying it was either that or it was the original chicken crossing the road joke.
What did she say?
Don't worry.
Forget it? Okay, fine. Okay, fine. So my daughter brought home a beautiful Dvar Torah last year on Shem Ve'Iver. Why gave Avram Avinu the ability to stick to his guns, if you will, to be Avram Avinu, even though the whole world was on the other side? Why gave Yaakov the ability? Why gave Yaakov the ability, even when he was by Lavan, to keep his way? We just read about this. Keep everything he learned in the home of his father. And why gave Yosef the ability to have the same last name, Tzadik? Only one, actually the same. I was thinking Mordechai Tzadik, but he's really the only one. We have Noach a little bit. Avos are Avinu, Yosef is Tzadik, and Yosef is also known as Ivri, just like his great-grandfather Avram. Hivilanu ish Ivri letzachik banu. He is identified as an Ivri, the only one since Avram Avinu to be called an Ivri in Bereishis is Yosef. I gave them the ability. What did they learn in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Iver? What does it mean? When you go Aver, keep your shame. It's beautiful. When you go Aver, when you journey to the other side, when you're all alone, don't forget who you are. Keep your Jewish name. Keep your identity. What did they actually learn in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Iver? I'm not sure. When did they live? Shame is shame. But keep your shame when you go Ever. And it gave Avram the ability to be Avram Avinu. We see that he passed it on, and ultimately it comes up in Yosef HaTzadik, who goes Ever. He is sent away. He is sent back to the other side. How does he keep his shame? So much so, Ad Kadei Kach, that his last name becomes Tzadik. It's the Avram imbibed every his progeny, and it went through the Doros with the ability to be a proud Jew, to keep your shame when you go Ever. The most beautiful words I ever heard on Shiva Shem Ve'Iver. Okay?
I guess also that's why Avram is Avinu, because Shem and Ever had their yeshiva, they knew, but they didn't go around being a car of the whole world. They didn't create a movement. They sat in their yeshiva, and they were good, and I'm not saying that, you know, I'm judging them in any way, but Avram really took an initiative and created a whole movement. And
he brought light to other people. That's why he was a tikkun for Noach. Okay, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehi HaPetrah.
Amen.
Thank you. You should work with this point and clarify it on your own until it's absolutely clear. We're on the bottom of page 137. Only after that may you come before Hashem and say, Master of the world, Ribono Shel Olam, I have thought and contemplated. I understand there's a creator. This is really, I don't know if he was really intentionally referring to Avram Avinu or not, but clearly there's a very strong allusion here to Avram Avinu. I have contemplated, I have thought. What does the Rambam say about Avram Avinu? His heart was knocking and his mind is unsettled. And the whole time, Yom V'Laila, he's thinking about this. I understand there's a creator. I know you exist. This is a subtle point that must be grasped. There are tens, perhaps hundreds, of delusional people walking around that have lost touch with the truth. In our society, Rechma al-San, are probably more than hundreds of people who have lost touch with truth. I'm talking about the greater society in which we live. They always speak to the Creator, but there's no person there. They don't live their own lives, and there is a disconnect between the one worshipping and the one being worshipped. If they fall into this error, they can lose touch with the whole process of Avoda that we have been discussing. Oh, sorry.
No, sorry.
Second, please. Any questions or comments, please? Okay, everyone's very quiet today. Okay. The Maggid of Dubno is lecturing on the High Holidays prayer that beseeches Hashem to answer us as he answered our forefathers. And what we say is, may the one who answered Avram Avinu, Anhar HaMoriah, this week's parasha, the Akedah, answer us. Huyanenu, Misha Anala Avram Avinu Bara Maria Huyanenu. As was his custom, the Maggid of Dubno brought him his point with a story. There was a storekeeper in town who had two customers who would buy all their needs from him. One was a wealthy person and the other was a poor person. One day the wealthy person made a wedding for his daughter. As was his custom, the storekeeper sent a valuable present worth 50 rubles. Sometimes later, the poor man held a wedding for his daughter. The storekeeper sent him a gift worth 2 rubles. The poor man was insulted and he went to the storekeeper with a complaint. Is that fair? The wealthy man who already says so much, you gave him 50 rubles. Me, you gave pittance. Am I not a regular customer? So the storekeeper replied, there's a big difference between the wealthy man and you. I bought him a large gift because he is wealthy. Not because he's wealthy and not because I have respect for his wealth, but because he buys a great deal from me. Almost half of my income comes from him and his family, but from you, what do you buy? Half a herring, a quarter liter of gas, a set of matches, even though sometimes I have to give you on credit. It costs me money, and so I'm able to get a penny from you. How can you compare yourself to the wealthy customer? This is the case with us at the Maggid of Dubno. How do we dare stand before the Ribono Shel Olam? And we say to him, Master of the Universe, the one who answered Avram Avinu on Har Maria should answer us. From Avram Avinu, the Master Universe had so much pleasure. Avram brought Hashem mitzvos and good deeds, and we could say so many people. He wasn't stagnant. He didn't only work for himself. He worked to bring others close to Hashem. But us at the Maggid were misers. What are the purchases we make? A kapitah of Tehillim, a kedusha. We remain in debt. So how do we have the chutzpah to stand on the same footing as Avram Avinu? However, I think we could answer this. And the answer is the ma'achalas, which I mentioned in Parsha Shir. The Ma'achalas Rashi says, why is, and Targum Unkel's translate is Yasakina, the knife. But when it comes to the Akedah, it says that Aram took the Ma'achalas. It's a strange word. And Targum Unkel's Rashi tells it's a Sakin. So if it's a Sakin, just call it a Sakin. The root word, of course, of Ma'achalas is Achal, Ochal, to eat. Rashi says, we get this Chusim from the Ma'achal is still today. Rabbi Lau says in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Mishnah Gimel, 10 tests Aram Vinu is tested. So Rabbi Lau says, the Ma'achalas feeds us Zechusim till this day. Just like food physically sustains someone, the Akedah spiritually sustains us. So when we're really asking the Ribono Shel Olam to answer us, like he answered Avram Avinu, it's true or not, Avram Avinu, but we're saying we have Zechus Avos. It's not just that I have my chapter of Tehillim, and I have my Heshmei Rabbah. It's that I'm saying, remember the Sakin, the Ma'achalas, it feeds us through the generations. And with that Zechus Avos, we can ask. And we do ask. Ask, because if I've discovered Hashem on my own, I don't know if I could do it, but I hold on to the coattails of Amudosha Olam, Avraham Avinu, who discovered Hashem. I hold on to that Amuna. That's where we're Ma'aminim B'nei Aminim. And his sacrifice continues to feed us to this day. That's why, says Rabbi Lau, I think based on Rashi and Mount Shur, it's called the Ma'achalas. This is a subtle point that must be grasped. Top of page 138. Oh no, you read that already. No, not top of page 138. Just joking. 3 stages, thought, speech, and action. What did I just do? It spilled. I don't know if it's me or the cup. Okay, it doesn't matter. Thank you for the water. 3 stages, thought, speech, and action. We must mention another point so the ideas will be clear and structured. I'm in the middle, page 138. In general, there are 3 garments on the soul. Thought, speech, and action. In order to speak to Hashem, you don't need action. You must, of course, fulfill the mitzvos, but no action is needed when you come to speak to the Creator. So there he's not talking about, by the way, formal tefillah. Okay? Let's just be clear. With formal tefillah, there is halacha dictates certain actions. You need to stand up by this part, sit down by this part. You need to move your lips. You need to bow. You need to take 3 steps forward, 3 steps back. So it's not so pasha, just to be clear. You do need action when you speak to Hashem through structured prayer. All the other times, you don't. Okay? In order to speak to Hashem, you must have thought. And by the way, in order to speak to Hashem, you must first have thought. The Hasidim, it's known that the Hasidim in the old time, I don't know if still today, do they still today take time to prepare for tefillah before davening?
Oh, my son does, but...
What did he say?
My son does, but that's Breslov.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So Hasidim would take time to prepare for tefillah. You have to have thought. You can't just stand up and say, okay, here I am. It's so funny because before I prepared for Shira, actually this afternoon, I davened Mincha. And I even thought before I davened Mincha, I have to think before I daven. I'm supposed to prepare. So I thought, okay, that's my preparation. And I went to daven Mincha. I'm not trying to make a joke. We also have to balance out as women, very busy women, exactly how much time we have. But at least there should be some machshava. Of what I'm about to do before I burst into the words of Ashrei. If thought does not precede speech, it's God forbid without das. So I want to share a story with you that actually Chaya, who's not here this evening, forwarded to me. A story from Ravan Yitzchak Eisenman. Okay, I don't know if anybody saw Ravan Yitzchak Eisenman. Okay. I had the pleasure of knowing, he tells a story about Rav Shmuel. Okay, he meets Rav Shmuel. He knew Rav Shmuel for 30 years. He was a master manal, fine Talmud Chacham. Anyway, he retired a few years ago. Okay, he fills his day with learning Torah. We live in different communities. We only see each other occasionally. Last Shabbos, writes Rabbi Eisenman, this, what's his name? Reb Shmuel was in my shul for a simcha. After Marva Matzah Shabbos, he waited till everyone left, and he came over to say hello. I was so happy to catch up with him, writes Rav Eisenman. And then he said, I enjoy your articles in Mishpacha very much. I love. Does anyone read Shul with a view of Mishpacha? I love it. One of them really hit home and resonated with me, he said. I just told my kids, my family, the one this week, about the Misaper Lashon Hara. Oh, okay. In the end, it comes back. He spends his whole life slandering somebody else, and in the end, it comes back to haunt him very badly. Okay, but this man says, one of your Shoals with a view really hit home with me. So I said, which one? So he said the one about being hatless at the Aguda dinner. I remember when I met it, Rav Eisenman went to the Aguda dinner and he was the only one without a hat. Okay? He said, it resonated because I had a similar experience. So I asked him to tell a story. He says, when I go to shul for mincha, generally I wear my hat. On very warm summer days, there are times when I attend mincha hatless. He lives in a neighborhood where most people do not wear a hat during mincha during the week. And he said, I'm a bit hesitant. By the way, if this doesn't apply to you in terms of the your hashkafa in your home of wearing a hat during mincha, that's not the point. There's a point to the story, whether the particulars apply to you or not. So just bear with me to the end. I'm always a bit hesitant when I don't wear my hat. I never know who I might meet. I would be embarrassed to be seen hatless. One warm July day, I went to shul without my hat. It was one of those hazy, hot, humid days. It was 100 degrees in the shade. I went in shul, and suddenly I look up, and I see in shul Rabbi Chashuva making his way into shul. I know Rabbi Chashuva for many years. He was a rabbeim in the yeshiva where I was the principal. Here he is at shul with his hat and his jacket, and I'm hatless. And it was then that I berated myself, almost audibly I berated myself. I knew you should have worn your hat to shul Shmuel, I said to myself. I even said, you never know who you might meet there. Rabbi Chashuva and I exchanged pleasantries, mincha, but again, he took a sitter, he sat down, and he began to daven. I was perturbed. I was flustered. I cannot regain my composure. After all, here I am standing before Rabbi Chashuva without a hat. How could I not be unhinged? And then I said to myself, you know, you should have worn a hat. After all, you never know who you will meet in shul. If you're not presentable, how will you live it down? And as I said to myself, you never know who you'll meet in shul. I stood for Shemona Esrei. And then I looked at the words over the Aron Kodesh. Dalifnei mi ata omei. You never know who you'll meet in shul. I said to myself, those words were ablaze and they burned brighter than any marquee ever seen on Broadway. And suddenly I was utterly humbled as the epiphany took hold of me and the absurdity of my thinking became crystal clear. Of course, I always have to be presentable. After all, you never know who, capital W, you're going to meet when you get there. If the particular of the story in terms of the hat is not your family, Shkafa, that's not the point. Sometimes we're so concerned about who will meet when we go there and who will see me and how do I look and am I well-dressed without remembering that we're always going to meet the only one who counts. And therefore, how can we possibly interact with Ribono Shalom without thought? We spend so much time thinking before we meet Rabbi Chashuva this or Rabbi Chashuva that. Do I give a fraction of the thought to, you'll never know who we meet. So we're going to stop because now he says, let us now consider how to attain proper speech. Next section. Okay, any questions or comments? Very good. Okay, Besoros Tovos, ladies, have a wonderful week. And wait, please, remember the thank you exercise. Just try it. I would love feedback. If you want to share next week in class, if you want to email me personally or WhatsApp me, just try it. Yes?
I actually started doing the thank yous every night before I go to sleep, like when I'm in bed. And since I've done it, I go through my day. Like, thank you, I woke up, thank you, I had enough time. And since then, I don't think I ever went to sleep thinking I had a bad day. Oh. Like, your day feels like $1,000 because
It really works. It's not like reverse psychology. That's why I said we're not like tricking our minds. You're totally changing your focus. Very nice.